some people think current events are always bad, but there's good news current events too, isn't there? There's good news. And sometimes when we think it's bad, it's actually good. God's trying to communicate with us what the world say is bad, God says is good. But here is, I believe it's good all the way around for everybody. And when I read this, you're going to understand even the world thinks this is good, which is blowing me away. So here we are. The Bible could be Mississippi's official state book. Lawmakers not doing Jesus followers a favor, says Christian ethicist. So we're going to, this is, you got to read this. I'm going to read this to you. Lawmakers in Mississippi have introduced two pieces of legislation that, if approved, would make the Bible the official book of Mississippi, even though this would conflict with the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. With Mississippi lacking an officially designated book of the state, three Mississippi lawmakers, Michael Evans, and William Arnold, a non-denominational pastor who's in public office, are sponsoring bills in the state legislature that would label the Holy Scripture as the state's official book. Evans said the idea of making the Bible the official book of Mississippi came when they were discussing the constitutes all the what's wrong in the world and how if more people read the Bible, things could be better. In an interview with the Associated Press, Miles issued a similar notion stating that the Bible lays down the foundation for how people should act. Now get a little of this. Other members of the Mississippi legislation who are non-believers think this is a good move for the state of Mississippi. The principles and foundations laid down in the Bible are good for everyone to follow. Pretty cool. This is what's going on. So there's some good news. Here's some other good news, you guys. You ever heard of Jay Sekulow? Jay Sekulow, probably most of you would have seen him get his start, for lack of a better word, in the media, would be on the 700 Club. With Pat Robertson. He has formed different groups and organizations. One is the American Center for Law and Justice. You will see him not just on Fox News, but MSNBC, CNN, and different news outlets. He has a new book coming out. It's called The Islamic State. He says it's the wealthiest and most lethal terrorist group in history. From beheadings to crucifixions to mass executions to a wave of anti-Christian persecution, the jihadist army has cut a bloody path across the Middle East. So his book is coming out. I'll give you the title. It's called The Rise of ISIS. The Rise of ISIS. What Jay Sekulow also does is for 501c3 corporations, nonprofits, churches, and so forth, is he helps fight against persecution in the United States when government comes up against them and says, you cannot say this or you can't do this. He says, oh, yes, you can. And he fights for free for them. And along with Matt Staver of the Liberty Council, that's out of Liberty University. So that book is called The Rise of ISIS, and it details what's going on with ISIS and all the other and across Europe and in the United States and Canada. It's just printed. So watch out for that. Now, I know you guys have seen this. Who are these group of people? The U.S. Supreme Court. They're going to be tackling an issue coming up for the states, which is gay marriage. Can states refuse gay marriage and can states refuse to recognize gay marriages from other states? The justices said this past Friday that coming up, they will review an appellate ruling that upholds bans on same-sex unions in four states: Tennessee, Ohio, Kentucky, and Michigan. They are among the 14 states where gay and lesbian couples are not allowed to marry. Earlier this month, Florida became the 36th state, in addition to the District of Columbia, to allow gay marriage. You and I need to pray for those in authority over us. We need to pray for those in authority over us. Just because you don't get the outcome that you want doesn't mean you don't pray for those in authority over you. Well, I've tried that before and it doesn't seem to work. You keep praying for those in authority over you. Why? Because God commands us to. See, I want to do what is right unto God. The outcome has nothing to do with me. It's on God. Whatever God constitutes, whatever God wants, that's unto him. But I'm supposed to pray His will be done. I'm supposed to pray for our country. I'm going to be praying for those in leadership over us. And in Genesis 2:22, you don't have to turn there. I just want to remind you, this is where the Lord, our Heavenly Father, made man. He made woman, and he says they should be called man, it should be called woman. And for this reason, this man shall leave his father and mother, be united with his wife, become one flesh. Old Testament. Well, Pastor, New Covenant. New Covenant says in Matthew 19:4-6, Jesus said, hey, by the way, it's the same thing as it's always been. It's between a man and a woman. So what you and I are going to come up against, this is Luke 21 and Matthew 24. It says we will be hated for his name's sake. So why churches still debate, is it lawful? Is it legal? Are there dividing churches right now? You and I have to stay on with God's word. It doesn't matter. Culture doesn't matter. God's word does. It doesn't matter what's going on in the culture. It doesn't matter what's going on in church culture. It does not matter. God's word is always true. So as this court's praying, so it's like, don't get sidetracked. Well, I have friends and they're not wrong. They're really nice people. It has nothing to do with that. Are they nice or not nice? What does God's word say? So we have to look at that, and we need to pray for those in authority over us. This is Atlanta Fire Chief. If you guys saw the story this week as well. This Atlanta Fire Chief, his name is Kevin Cochran. He has just been fired from his job for writing a book describing different things that are in the Bible, one being homosexuality as perversion. He wrote the scriptures out and so forth. He was fired from his job as fire chief. He said his termination sent a message to Bible-believing Christians that you better keep your mouth shut or you'll be fired. Is this not Luke 21, Matthew 24, end times? Church, you are going to be persecuted for your faith. Don't back down. He's already got a lot of other job offers. God is your provider. You do not provide for yourself. God will take care of you. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed said Cochran was not fired because of his faith, just poor judgment with his faith. How do you like that? So he wasn't fired for faith because that is not, can't be constituted as being fired. It's just poor judgment in using your faith. You shouldn't be writing books saying that because why? Because it's legal. Do you guys understand the problem? See, when we keep saying that's what's no big deal, well, 36 states say it's legal. So now 36 states, fire chiefs, department heads, government officials, all of a sudden trying to keep them quiet. All right, it's freedom of speech. So here, lastly tonight, this is Eric Metaxas. And this next person, many of you should know who this is. And Graham Lotz. There is, in theaters for one night only, this coming Monday, I don't believe it's here locally, they haven't announced it yet. I'm sorry, this past Monday, and because of that, they're going to be extending it. They're going to see what kind of play they got, and it might be plays. Yeah, this past Monday, discussing the Exodus, both as it is in the Bible and among ancient findings in Egypt. So what they've done is he's got the scientific information about the book of Exodus and everything that's around it, right? From Moses and all the things that happened. They have all the science that they've gathered and all the artifacts. And they're laying it out with the Bible. This was on, so they're going to be releasing this out of DVD. It was released last Monday, and they're going to do it again. They were both on for Fox News channel with Gretchen Carlson. They were also on MSNBC as well. The questions were a little bit different on MSNBC. They're trying to get a better angle. So they said, I believe the Bible is God's word and God is powerful enough to not only part the Red Sea and have his people cross on dry ground, but that his word is his integrity, said Anne Graham Lotz, right on the TV. I was raised in a Christian home, and I've always believed the Exodus happened because the Bible said it did. In a sense, that's good enough. And I think the people, what they'll love about this film is they've taken the archaeology in history and looked at it in the terms of scripture instead of looking at the Bible through the lens of archaeology. And it's amazing what happens if you just look at the facts, the Bible is true. So you'll see more and more movies, God's Not Dead and some other movies that are coming out. There is a definite turn, I believe, that is coming out with more prevalent with what people are trying to reach. Not just churched people, but the unchurched as well. So, all right, you guys ready for tonight? All right, now, on the way in tonight, there's an, in the closet, there was an ex, there's a, hanging up, there's extra layers of skin. Okay, now what I want you to make sure of, this is not about you better leave tonight and believe exactly how I believe. This is, we're going to present God's word, something that you may have never heard in your life. Maybe you've never heard it presented this way, and for the next 2 weeks, I want you just to receive God's word, let the Holy Spirit can only convict you that of what you have heard and what you've read. That's according to John. So also, when the church at large, not this church, the church at large, this is the history of the church. When the church doesn't like something that God's saying in his word, they call it legalism. When the church doesn't like something, oh no, it's the pastor. Okay, when the pastor says something out of God's word and the church doesn't agree with it or like it, they call it legalism. Oh, you can't say that. That's legalism. No, let's just read God's word. Let's just read God's word, and what does it have to say? Before we begin this, I'm going to say this week and next week. I have no history of alcoholism in my family. I don't tout that as yay for me. I'm just telling you, I'm coming at this with you as a, there's no natural fight. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't come with this and I'm saying, well, I had a brother of this and a dad who this and an uncle of this. I don't have that. Praise God. And you may have that. Or you may not have that. But I'm not coming at from that position. And you need to know that, because there's a filter on because what I'm going to do is, since you and I are believers in Christ in here, see, it's one thing if you are not believers and I wanted to tell you about alcohol, I could give you the percentages. I could give you statistics. 1 out of 11 people who drink before the age of 18 become alcoholics. 1 out of 9 of those before the age of 35 will die of some type of alcohol-related death. And I can give you percentages, and I can show you police reports of what happens. I can do that. As believers, here's my report. Okay? So, but what about people who are drinking who aren't saved? I want them to get saved. But as believers, we want to continue on in our knowledge of who Jesus is. 2 Peter 1, our divine nature change, growing in the knowledge of who he is. And once again, the Bible, we're going to go through these scriptures. There are certain things that you and I have to get onto the meat of the word. The meat of the word. So we spent the last 24 weeks going through end times. And guess what? This is part of end time stuff. Because the word says that churches will be divided, there'll be delusions, there'll be setting, and it says they'll be saying things that God never said. This is Old and New Testament. We've looked at timelines, we've looked at things that have to happen before Jesus Christ comes, and guess what? They've all happened. The only prophecies that have left to be fulfilled are the ones after Jesus comes. The Antichrist revealing who he really is, the Battle of Armageddon, the one world government, the one world religion, those are the only things left. So you and I, though, need to hear the word, and through the word, the Holy Spirit can convict us of those things that we have now heard. So there are several passages in Scripture, Old and New Testament, that deal with how we are supposed to live our life. Well, Pastor, you're talking about legalism. No, I'm talking about holiness. I want to grow, and who wants to be more holy? Anybody? Okay. Hopefully you all raise your hand. This is growing and maturing in our walk with Christ. The Bible is full of commands, not suggestions, commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my... Did you know that commands are do's and they're don'ts? Everyone looks at the Bible and views it as the bunch of don'ts. There's a bunch of do's in here as well. Well, Pastor, I no longer do the don'ts. Well, just because you no longer do what is wrong does not mean you're doing what is right. Okay, I'm going to say that once again, and we're going to add laughter into the video clip later. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. Just because you're no longer doing what is wrong does not mean you are doing what is right. There are commands in the Bible that says to stop doing this, and there are commands in the Bible that says, but do this. Go make disciples. Go be my witnesses. Go be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait here. I want you to love more. I want you to have mercy. I want you to have grace. I want you to grow in the knowledge of who I am. I want you to commune with me. I in Joshua 1:8. I want you to meditate on my word day and night. I want you to wake up. And then there's the don'ts. Stop creating strife. Stop doing this. Stop using your tongue. Stop bringing death. You know, so there's the both in the Bible. So we also know that faith without faith, it's impossible to please God, correct? But faith without obedience to the do's and don'ts is dead. Faith without works showing that I'm following Christ. Yeah, I believe Jesus. Well, but you haven't lined up. They will know you by your fruit. By your fruit. They will know you by your fruit. So in order for God's people, his church, that's you and I, we are ordained here. We've been ordained to be living right now before the foundations of the earth were formed. He has got a purpose for you and I. We have to get rid of the don'ts in our life. Stop playing around with this stuff. Stop living like the world is. And we need to continue and move on. That moving on for this Wednesday night, people. Not just Wednesday night, the Sundays as well, but since I'm in here on Wednesday night, is getting on to the meat of the word. You and I have spent a lot of time on the milk. Therefore, we have a lot of stage one Christians. You guys know what stage one food is? If you've had a little baby, even if you didn't have a baby, when you go to the grocery store, there's these little bitty bottles, the little Gerber, and they got stage one. Then they have stage two, and they have stage three. Stage one is when you first start a baby out on. But at a certain point, stage one doesn't do anything for them anymore. Then you have to get to stage two. There's a little more grit. There's a little more bite. There's a little more taste to it. Stage three, whoo, right? Well, if you throw stage three into a newborn baby, they ain't going to like you very much. They're going to make that face, right? I still make that face with certain things. I just, anything that comes out of the ground, I make that face. After stage three, though, now you start giving meat. Man, can you imagine that child, when you cut that little meat up, you have to cut it in itty-bitty bites. But how exciting is it when you no longer have to carry the baby food around, right? They can eat off your plate. And then when they turn 18, 19, you despise the day that they start eating off your plate. Because now they're eating filet, just like you are, and it's really expensive. Okay, so when the church hears something they don't like, once again, they call it legalism. We got to throw that to the side. And what does God want us to hear? God wants us to repent and be obedient, not to keep us away from having fun. He wants to prosper us. He wants to protect us from what the world thinks is great, but it also leads to death. So Hebrews 5, from when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which to be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the commandments of God, and are become such as you have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Did you guys understand that? Everyone that useth milk is unskillful. That doesn't mean it's wrong to get on milk, because when it says when you're a new babe in Christ, you need to get on the milk. But at some point, we need to start addressing the issues that are holding us back and what God is saying to the church. So verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to be able to discern good and evil, and that comes from getting onto the meat. A baby who has milk has to be told what is wrong. Jesus took his disciples, the 12, and for 3 years, he took them around. He told them what was right, and he told them what was wrong. Y'all agree with that? So, but he said, now in order to expand this, in order for you guys to get on the meat, I got to send the promised Holy Spirit. Because now he can convict you of what is right and wrong. He's going to come into you and I, and he's going to convict us as right or wrong. But we have to get on to more meatier issues in the Bible instead of God came down and gave us his son. You have to do what? To go make more disciples, to be a more witness. How do I do that? Well, we need to cut this off, but we need to add this. What is those things? We have to address these. Ephesians 4:12. This is Paul talking to a church. for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Whoa, why are we going to church? To be perfected as saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You and I need to be perfecting, getting on the meat so we can be perfecting, growing Christians, thriving Christians. So my job, according to Paul, my job as a pastor is to get you onto the meat of the word, start taking you off the milk. And the last 24 weeks of actually going through end time prophecy, I'm telling you, that was meat. That was not milk. That's why I got several emails. That's why I got several texts. That's why, not in bad ways, I've never heard that before. Oh my goodness. Some people say, hey, you know, sometimes you look for a response from everybody and you say, hey, where's it? They said, because we've never heard this before. And we're going like, that's what happens when you have meat. So when you say, on Sunday mornings and clap your hands on Wednesday night, I agree, you're agreeing to milk. When it gets quiet, that means meat just went in you and you got to chew on it for a while. And your natural self is going, no, that's legalism. But your spirit man's saying, man, I'm here to set you free. See, our bodies, our natural minds, we want to know to the nth degree, what can we get away with? Right? At what point are you going to actually enforce these laws? What can I do? Well, sometimes I get pulled over going 10 over. Oh, no, you go on 75. You go north of Baldwin Road, you can go 30 miles over and they'll never pull you over, right? But when it comes to God wants from us, that's legalism. Our natural man wants to know the extent of what we can do, which is evil, but when we want to know the extent of what is good, that's legalism. But my job as the pastor is for the perfecting of the saints, is to perfect you. And so I have to stir up the gift that's within you. I have to stir up the scripture in you, things that you maybe have heard or not have heard, but I have to stir that gift up for the work of ministry, not for all of us to work at church. Because if we're all working at church, how are we going to go out to our jobs and actually minister to anybody? So for it says, by now you ought to be teachers. When you look in the original text in the Greek in that passage, it doesn't say we all should be Sunday school teachers. It says we should also be instructing everyone and discipling people. But because we're always on the milk, we can't discern what is good or evil in order to share with other people. Do you guys understand this? This is going to be freeing for the next 2 weeks. This is not limited to alcohol. This is the whole opening of the scripture. This is revealing in Revelation. So 2 Timothy 4, this is an addition. This is what the pastor is supposed to do. Herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Paul's writing Timothy saying, keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. My sense of urgency, this is not in the scripture right now. You can look up like, where's this at? Okay, my sense of urgency is not found in, I just got to hurry up. No, I need to because Jesus is coming. Well, wait, this was 2,000 years ago. What was his sense of urgency? Because you could die tomorrow. My sense of urgency is not just limited to Jesus could come at any moment. It is you could die tomorrow, and you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give account for every single thing that you did. So my job is to make sure you're stirred up, that you're getting on the meat, that you're charging, that you're changing from glory to glory, and you're becoming more like him. And I have to do this according to God's word, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. Well, Pastor, that's legalism. No, that's unfavorable. See, when you hear something that doesn't line up with your natural body, you're saying it's legalism, and I'm saying, no, it's unfavorable. Well, why are you saying that? Because that's what Paul said. So whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome, as a preacher of the word, you're to show people in what way their lives are wrong. So does that sound like that's fun? If I have to show you, I mean, can you imagine if someone went around and showed you where you're wrong all the time? But it's not limited. See, now we're talking about the don'ts, right? This is the don'ts. But it gets better. Come on. We're going to convince, rebuke, correct, warn, urge, encourage. Now this is about the do's. So there's a full pendulum swing. It's just not, a pastor is not there just saying, don't. He says, let me encourage you to go do. Being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. So I'm to be inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Inexhaustible. And so that means if someone doesn't get it one night, that's okay. Two nights, three nights, four nights, it doesn't matter. It's inexhaustible, and we're going to keep having patience. We're going to keep teaching until all of us come in oneness and unity. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That sounds unwelcoming, doesn't it? Sounds unfavorable. Okay. So once again, don't limit your thoughts tonight to, okay, he's setting us up for alcohol. No, this is a setup for every single thing that's in the Bible. Because our natural man, that's why it's natural. He naturally defaults to that which is wrong, but we want to do what is right and put on the new man. Old man's gone. What God's two-edged sword word does, the two-edged sword, it pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The meat of God's word, the meat, we just talked about this, it helps us discern good and evil. The sword of God's word gives us our intents of our heart and is a discerner of our thoughts. Scripture defining scripture. Scripture backing up scripture. John 8:32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My job is to present the truth to you. My job is not to whack you over the head and before you leave tonight to make sure you all agree with the truth. My job is to present the truth, and then the Holy Spirit, your job is let the Holy Spirit convict you of what you have heard. I'm not convicting. I am explaining and sharing the gospel for you. So one of the jobs or characteristics of the Holy Spirit is he reminds you of things. This is in the book, all throughout the book of John. Things. God's words, God's promises, right? Commands in God's words that you have heard or read. So the conviction comes from the Holy Spirit, not from a pastor, not from a teacher. You may feel conviction and say, I don't like that pastor. He always makes me feel convicted. Or you may say, I like that pastor because I need to feel convicted. Why? He's speaking and reminding me of scriptures that I knew I've heard before. I just don't want to listen to them anymore. During your devotions, don't pick your favorite verses. Someone tells me, I've been doing the same book devotions for years. Okay. Did you understand it yet? Oh, yeah. You can do it by memory. There's 65 other ones. Get on the meat, man. Let's get on the meat. John 6:63. It's the spirit quickens. The flesh profits you nothing. This is translated, what you think in the natural doesn't matter. It's the spirit or God's word that is truth. You and I will always have moments that's like, I don't want to do that. I can't stand that person. I will not talk to them. I could care less. I will be mean, right? That's just me, I know. All of you don't think that. I'm just explaining that what I go through. So it doesn't matter, though, what I feel or what I think. It's the spirit who gives life to me. My feelings go up and down. The last 2 days, for whatever reason, when I came into work, people are going, wait, did you have a Mountain Dew on your way to work? What's going on? I was just full of life, right? Woo! Now, usually I'm pretty upbeat, but I was extra upbeat. I have no idea why. You know what? Someone could have kicked me in the head. I would have said, praise Jesus, have a great day. Maybe. I was close. Other times, if you look at me wrong, I will say something. You know, it's just it's our natural man. But it says my natural man doesn't profit me anything. Have you ever found that to be true? Your natural man, when you act out, you say something because you didn't feel like doing what was right, it gets you into trouble. Hank Smith, how many people have you arrested because they didn't feel like doing what was right? But it's the spirit that gives life. The spirit gives truth. I shouldn't do that. Hey, that's wrong. That's going to give me trouble. So in James 4:17, therefore to him that knows what to do is good and doesn't do it, to him it's a sin. So I have to hear the word because I need to know what the sin is. And I'm responsible once I hear it to go do the word. So Paul instructs us to do something. All throughout the epistles, in these letters to the churches, he says to get rid of something. And I like to liken it to a low rider. You know what a low rider is? A vehicle, a low rider? And they got all that junk in the trunk. The thing weighs low, right? And it's really slow. It drags all the time. It hits a curb when it goes on. Hey, Paul says, get rid of that stuff that easily weighs you down so you can go faster. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, seeing we all are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us now lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset, troubles, or threatens us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. If you have some junk in your trunk and you said, man, I just feel sluggish in the Lord, I don't know why, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of the stuff that easily is holding you down. Everyone struggles with something in here. You default to it to a natural man. You all do. You can't say, nope, nothing ever, because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. He wouldn't say, all I have to do is ask for forgiveness. He's faithful and just. If we never sinned anymore. So we need to be honest and say, man, I want to work on with this. So Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, meaning he spanks. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He disciplines his sons. You and I are sons of God, daughters and sons of God. If you endure his chastening, if you accept God's chastening, his refiner's fire, God deals with you as with his son. For what son is he whom a father chasteth not? Because you have to take discipline from someone, right? That you have to take discipline from someone. But, verse 8, if you are without chastisement, if you go without punishment, meaning you don't want to be punished, you don't see the stop signs in your life, you want to do whatever you want, whereof all are partakers, we all need it, then it says you are bastards and not sons. You are not illegitimate. You were not walking with Christ anymore. You're doing things, and this is where iniquity kicks in. I'm sinning, and I don't care anymore. Yes, I know it's convicting, and yeah, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, but I don't care because I want to live how I want to live. So what are those things that weigh us down? Once again, we're not talking about legalism. This is about what God expects from us, what we should be aspiring to, not what you think, but what God thinks. His thoughts, not our thoughts. Do not look at scriptures through the eyes of yourself. See them as God sees them. It's his words. Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Thank God his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not our ways. God shows much more mercy than we do. So why, Pastor Grant, are we going to talk about alcohol then? Why are we talking about it? What's the big deal? Let me throw some things out at you. 55% of evangelical preachers drink. What does that mean? That means they have one drink a week. 55% of pastors, evangelical pastors. 58% of evangelicals drink one drink a week. 58 evangelical, I've summarized that before in lessons back in October, but just to melt that down, evangelicals, those who go to church once a week, who believe that Jesus rose from the grave, who believe that Mary, you know, that she had him, one drink a week, 58% of evangelicals. So there's some stats. Now, Paul, all throughout Scripture, said drunkards won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So there has to be some information in God's word pertaining to what a drunkard is. Can you imagine God, who he desires that all of us go to heaven? That's his desire. He wants us all. He's cheering for us. He's pulling us on. It says in Hebrews that there's a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And God said, hey, drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you guys think drunk means is up to you. How can that be? Well, why don't we talk about this? It doesn't make sense. Because half of the people do it. You know what we don't talk about in church? Politics. How do I know that? Because 50% of the people vote differently than the other 50. And for reasons that are in here. They see it differently, or they don't see it. Or they don't care. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts anymore. Why don't people talk about drinking? Either they have a horse in the fight meeting or horse in the race meeting. I have a family history with it, so I just want to talk about it impassionately from a clinical point of view. I'm not going to talk about it from a clinical point of view tonight because that's not doing Christians justice. Because then I'm going to have to tell you why you shouldn't go out and be out in the sun without covering up with SPF 15. And I can't find that in the Bible. But 54 verses in the Bible relate to drinking. 13 different places it says drunkards won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Wouldn't you and I want to know what that means? If we're not going to heaven, in what is the definition of that? So if I think it's whatever I believe a drunkard is, that's called humanism. If it's up to me what I think a drunkard is, that's called humanism. Humanism, it's in your notes, is an outlook or a system of thought attaching prime importance to humans and what they think rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. I just need to take the edge off. Everybody else is doing it. Whatever the excuse is, once again, we're talking about alcohol for the next 2 weeks because the Bible says so. And we need to talk about this as a church, to meet. Alcohol is a very divisive topic, like politics in the church. Either you talk about it from opinion-based, or they have no idea what they're talking about in the Bible. I can tell you where denominations stand on drinking. Denominations. Some denominations say yes, some denominations say no. Once again, denominations were created because it's based upon how much you believe this is true. So, well, I go to this church and they say it's okay. I go to this church and we can't. Well, what does this say? It doesn't matter. I'm not going to stand before God one day and say, well, I'm Presbyterian. This is what we believe. He's going to go, what? What? Well, I'm Methodist. I'm Assemblies of God. This is what we believe. He's going to go, this is the only thing you're responsible for. I want to simplify your life. Yes, my credentials, my ordination is through Assemblies of God. And yes, it's a great, but I'm telling you, the only thing I'm responsible for is not, for those of you in the Assemblies of God, you'll appreciate this, is not the Hammer's books of rules and laws and constitution and bylaws. I don't have to stand before God and recite that. This is what I'm responsible for when I stand before God. So what is in here? If he says something's going to prevent me from going to heaven and it's in here, I want to know this. Okay. So I know it's divisive, but we have to teach on it because drunkards won't enter heaven, and the Holy Spirit can only convict you of something that you've actually heard. So I'm going to present the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. I don't know. I'm not trying to do anything other than let the Holy Spirit do his work. And my job is to perfect you into faith. It's to get you to be a minister, to do in the ministry, and to change from glory to glory. That's it. So what does God say about alcohol? Here is, in brevity, and not an exhaustive list of the 54 verses, but here we go. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Proverbs was written by whom? And he is considered the what? The wisest person ever. Man, wouldn't you just like to sit down with a really wise person? You know why people go to counselors? Because they want some wisdom. They want some other party to tell them, hey, you deal with this all the time. Tell me. Here's... God said this is the wisest person ever. He's given us, you and I, and people look at them and go, eh, I don't care. The wisest person that's ever lived is going to give you advice, and you're looking at them going, eh, I don't care. Hey, if I touch these two wires together while I'm standing in water, what do you think would happen? I think you're going to die. Eh. It's the same principle. Someone who's wiser than you is telling you something, and you go, eh. Paul, God chose Paul. God chose Paul, and Paul said, I will do it. I'll become a slave to the gospel, and I will go preach your gospel, and doesn't matter if it's favorable or unfavorable. If I'm welcomed or unwelcome, I'm going to preach this. And I'm telling you, church, do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Habakkuk 2:15, woe to him who makes his neighbor drink. Oh, wait. Well, I've never actually opened someone's mouth and force-fed them. No, that's not what he's talking about here in the Hebrew. It says he's causing a peer pressure. I go over there, causing him to drink. Isaiah 5:22, Old Testament, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink. Galatians 5:24, Paul talking to a church. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We'll talk about that in a second. Well, is that applying to everything? But we're talking about alcohol tonight. Paul says, now, the doings and practices of the flesh are clear. Now, I'm going to repeat this again. The doings and practices of the flesh or natural man are clear. They're obvious. They are immorality, impurity, and indecency. In a couple weeks, we're going to break all this stuff down because I want to know this, don't you? Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Whew, strife is in there. Jealousy, anger, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, a party spirit with peculiar opinions. Anybody have a peculiar opinion in here? Come on. You know, one wants to raise their hand? It's okay. All right. I know enough people in here now. I've been here long enough. There's some peculiar opinions, and that's okay to a point. Verse 21. Envy, drunkenness, carousing and the like, I warned you beforehand, just as I did previously. Wait, he's already told church this before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In the text, the original says, habitually. Doesn't mean I did it once, I will never enter the kingdom of God, because he's faithful and just to forgive me. For those who habitually practice these things, he says, those are the ones who are no longer taking correction, and those are no longer sons of mine. You guys, we just read this in Hebrews. There are quite a few things listed there, but we're talking about drunkenness right now because for most of us, I think sorcery, I think we would agree with, right? I mean, we can spend some time on that, but I don't know if that's 58% of the evangelicals are into sorcery. I don't know that to be true. I'm not saying you don't talk about it. I'm just saying we're talking about things that seems to be the world coming into the church, and the church is saying, this is just who we are. Here's Paul writing another church, 1 Corinthians. Did you know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the impure and immoral. No, who's he writing this to again? So does that mean that everyone in the church is he saying that not everyone's pure? So just because you go to church doesn't mean you're perfect. The fact that we're here tonight, we're not perfect. Nor idolaters, adulterers, nor those who participate in what? Homosexuality. Nor cheats, swindlers, thieves, nor greedy graspers, nor drunkards, nor foul-mouthed. Uh-oh, what's a foul mouth? Oh, I don't have a foul mouth. He has a foul mouth. And I didn't mean to point at you, Maya. I was just doing it as a jest. I'm sorry. He has a foul mouth. Tony, could you go over there? I'm just kidding. All right, so once again, we could break down all of these, but there are some issues in the church at specific times and seasons that we deal with things because the world creeps in and we get, I want to say a little loose, we get disobedient on. Or a pastor who doesn't take his responsibility to train and equip people to understand what is a foul mouth. Did you know the word is very clear what foul mouth is? Well, right there it doesn't say, well, there's more than one passage in the Bible on foul mouth. In 2 weeks, we're going to go over that. Because, once again, it won't enter the kingdom of heaven. That person who has a continuous, habitual foul mouth won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So are you going to write out the words for us? Well, that would be foul. I'm going to give you, right out of God's word, what it says. You're going to be blown away. And no, 2,000 years ago, they didn't write out every single word in every single language for all time what's going to be potty mouth or foul. It actually specifically says what these things, when you talk about these certain things, and I don't want to give it away because you won't come. All right. It says, you will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom. Any. Man, I want to know what those things are. Paul's writing churches on this. It's same letter, 5:11, chapter 5, verse 11. But now I write to you not to associate with anyone who, this is a tough one. Now I'm writing you, church, to not associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God, or is a person with a foul tongue, or a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not so much as eat with such a person. Hold on, I just heard a pin drop. This is why I said everyone got to put an extra layer of skin coming in tonight, right? Pastor, why do you have a smile on your face? Because this is the spoonful of sugar that's going to help the medicine go down. We can still have fun reading God's word, but it has to penetrate deep. Because my job and your job, Revelations 1, blessed are you and blessed are me. When we hear this, when we study God's word, I'm telling you, this is going to change our lives. This isn't about, okay, legalism, I can't say this, I can't say this, I can't say this. No, you understand the heart of what God is saying. He's out there promoting us. He's trying to protect us. He wants us to strive in business. He wants us in our relationships, but he doesn't want us to fail, so he's not going to promote us until we're ready. See, we struggle so much in business because we say, well, God just blessed me. He goes, how can I bless you when you won't do the simple things? He's writing it out several times. Paul writes the church in Galatians, in Corinth, in Thessalonians. He keeps writing everybody saying, church, don't do this, don't do this. Why? But do this. It's just not about the don'ts, because then you and I will sit home twiddling our thumbs, okay, I'm not doing anything wrong anymore, but I can go do this now. Why? Because God, you're going to bless me, you're going to anoint me, because I'm obedient to your word. But how many of us really do this? Whew. Well, Pastor, I'll be eating dinner by myself every single day. What if you said to your friend, hey, you know what? I'm doing some Bible study lately, and you know what? We did these 2 weeks on foul tongue. And man, you know what? Holy Spirit's working on me. Brother, I'm struggling with this, because do you know what the word says? Because I'm not even supposed to eat with you. Okay, how do you discipline? Okay, this is the part we're not going to go into this tonight, about church discipline. See, if everyone always looks the other way, no one says anything, people just keep doing what they've always done. But when you care enough about someone, you sit them down, even if it causes a rift, not because of a strife, but because you care so much, you address an issue. When you address issues with people inside the body of Christ, as Paul says to do, it has nothing to do with the outcome. It's about, are you doing what is right? Because that person has a responsibility. Are you going to receive this or not? I present the word. That's all. Do you guys understand this? I'm not trying to be harsh. I just want us to be obedient, because when we're obedient, everything turns out better. It may not look like it initially, but overall, my job is to please God and no one else. When I do his work, he blesses me. Proverbs 23. Wait, who wrote Proverbs again? And he was the wisest person ever. Oh, okay. So the wisest person ever is about to tell some information. Who has woe? How many used that word recently in a sentence? Okay. Woe. He's not talking about that. He's talking about woe. I have woe. Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness and dimness of eyes? Those who tarry long at wine, those who get to seek and try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the wine glass, when it goes down smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. An adder is a venomous Eurasian snake, basically. It's very small, meaning what we think is a small amount. It's venomous, a small amount venomous. Under the influence of wine, your eyes will behold strange things and loose women. And your mind will utter things turned the wrong way, untrue, incorrect, and petulant. Yes, you will be as unsteady as he who lies down. I'm going to stop right there. I don't care. I'm not doing a raise of hands. Who's ever drunk, who's ever drank, doesn't matter. I'm just telling you right now, oh, Pastor, I've never gotten that bad. Okay, there's more than one verse about this. He's telling you what can become Okay? He's not saying this is why you don't. He's saying this is what can become of you, and this is why you shouldn't. But there's other things prior to this. This isn't the only description of what it means. Verse 34. Yes, you'll be unsteady as he who lies down in the midst of the sea, and as an open to disaster as he who lies upon the top of a mast. You will say, they struck me, but I was not hurt. Why? Because you were hammered and didn't know it. That's the... That's the message. Okay, they beat me as with a hammer, but I didn't feel it. For those of you who are laughing, I'm sorry. When shall I awake? I will crave and seek more wine again and escape reality. Hey, I just gotta have one glass. Gotta take the edge off. It's no big. You understand when I just never take it that far. Oh, so you have some internal thing that you just know how to shut it off? Yes, I'm different than most people. Okay, well, God's not talking about your internal anything. He gives us, everybody, the same thing. Isn't that great? God's no respecter of persons. What he says for Pastor Dennis, he says for me. What he says for Mike, what he says for Tony, what he says for anybody in here, what he says is true for everybody. That's just a great thing with God. I don't have to try to figure him out. He says, man, this is, well, how come you didn't do it for him? No, he's the same. Same today, same tomorrow, same yesterday. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells within you? Well, then you say I can't have Doritos because I'm not talking about Doritos. I'm talking about Twinkies. I'm not talking about pizza right now. We're talking about alcohol. We're going to talk about other stuff. But I'm telling you, 58% of evangelicals drink once a week. 52% of the pastors drink. Romans 14, 21. It's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. See, that's the one people always say, okay, I can't do my brother to stumble, so I can't go to the movie, so I can't wear tight pants, so I can't. Okay, once again, take this and look, all 53 other passages of Scripture. Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Isaiah 28, 7. These also reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest, the prophet reel with strong drink. Who does? The priest and the prophet. Whew. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in vision. They stumble in giving judgment. I've been to golf courses with pastors getting hammered at the bar. Well, I'm just out with the guys. Oh, as long as you're out with the guys. I'm having an adulterous affair. My friends are doing it too. Oh, well, then it's okay. As long as everybody else is doing it, I mean, I guess, you guys see how we justify things? But the Bible doesn't, he's just saying, this is how you should do it. Proverbs 23:29. Once again, who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife? So why is this a big deal? Because the drunkard, along with a whole list of other things that you were going to do, are going to prevent us from going into heaven. So I want you to hear God's heart. I want you to hear the entirety of the passage. It's going to set you free. There's something about when God says something, man, you can work on it. You can pray for it. Holy Spirit convict you. When you want to do something, he convict you of what it was. It's not because of what I said or somebody else said. It's because of what a God said. So why is this such a big deal? Do you want to know that you are right with God? Of course we do. So what does the Bible consider drunkenness? Not what you consider drunk, not what the highway patrol considers drunk. They will not be standing with you before Jesus with your ticket. Because, wait, I was drunk in Ohio, but I crossed into Michigan, and now I'm not drunk. But I went to Indiana, and I am drunk. But then I drove the same car at the same point 08, and now I'm in California, and they say I'm okay. And then I go to Colorado, and I can roll a big fatty, and I can smoke, and I can get high, and that's okay. But then I go across the border in Nevada, and I can't do it. See, we get caught up in man's laws because our natural man, John 63, doesn't profit us anything. It's a spirit who gives life. If I can't do it in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what the world says I can and cannot do. Right now, there's Christians. There's a blog. What's going on? I think we should move to Colorado because there you can smoke pot. Well, is it wrong in Michigan? Well, yeah. Is it wrong in the kingdom of God? Well, but it's okay in Colorado. Do you guys understand? This is natural man thinking. He's getting confused with the kingdom of God. I'm supposed to be a living sacrifice. I don't care what the states say. What does God say in regards to these matters? So, just because you heard it was okay from a teacher or a preacher, or you've been to a church where the pastor drinks, so you think it's okay, but what does the Bible say? This is what the Bible says about a pastor. And once again, 50-something percent of pastors, evangelical pastors, drink once a week. Okay? Assemblies of God has a whole blog on pastors who drink, and they're upset that Assemblies of God doesn't allow it. But in order to be Assemblies of God pastor, you say you have to agree that you can't. But they put their names on it as a blog saying that they think we should. It doesn't matter what the Assembly of God says. It matters what this says. So they're going to drink as long as the Assemblies of God says you can drink. So there are pastors right now who want to leave the Assemblies of God and go to different denominations so they can drink. I just think it's funnier to me than it is to you. It just blows me away. It matters what God says. It doesn't matter what state you live in or what denomination you're in. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Well, I'm just looking for a counselor to tell me it's okay to beat up my wife or to have sex with other people outside of marriage. I'm just looking for, well, man, in certain states, I can marry 12 people. Doesn't matter. 1 Timothy 3. Can a pastor drink? 1 Timothy, this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop or pastor, it's interchangeable. In some places they call them elders, okay? It's the same thing. He desires a good work. But a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. He has to be able to teach. Not given to wine. How else should we read that? Not given to wine. No drinky. You look in the original text, it gets even further detail. But for now, so once again, we have a little over 52% pastors who drink. They don't want to talk about their church because 58% of them drink. But the pastor himself, who has to be apt to teach, has to look at this passage, and he says, I cannot be given to wine. But half of them do it anyways. So what else do they think that's written here that they can do? Oh, Johnny can marry Johnny. Bobby, once again, if I think this is false, or I don't have to follow this, then there's other things that I can follow. You know, so what if I have a girlfriend? You know, my wife, she just doesn't take care of me. These are reasonings that people have. Once the ruleth well in his own house, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, that in their house. Hey, when they're 22, 24, they're out of the house, hey, it's one thing. But once again, if they're in your house, when Zach turned 18, my son turned 18, we had a talk. He wanted to live at home and go to college. So I said, great, son, you've been raised in church, and this is the way. No drugs, no drinking, none of this. Guess what? You do it, you're gone. How's that? Zach, you cannot be given to any of this. Wait, so what are you saying? I'm saying you can't. You can't do it. Well, I think I can. I don't care what you think. I care what I think. God cares what he thinks. He doesn't care what you think. It's his kingdom. You want to join his kingdom? You do what he says. So verse 5, for if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Interesting. So right off the bat, pastors can't drink. Well, I have different passages. I have a different translation, and it says I can drink. We're going to get into that in a second. This is where I told you it's so important what translations you have. Because now, later on in the 70s and 80s, different translation says, they changed it and says you can drink as a pastor. They just decided to change the original text. Oh, all right. Oh, Jesus, help me up. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:8. Okay, so first we're talking about pastors, elders, you know, of the church, bishops. Same thing, the overseer of the church. the one who teaches and preaches. Now we have deacons of the church. Deacons in the New Testament, they take care of the administrations of the church. They take care of all the things that happen in the church. This is the deacons. They're not to be double-tongued, not given to much wine. Oh, whew, so I can drink. Wait, is that what he's saying? We're going to look about this too. Because, see, there's more here. See, you can't run with one verse and say, oh, well, this must be today's English vernacular, so I can have a little. Well, then what's a little? What does this mean? Holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience, and let those who also first be proved, let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Wow, it sounds like even the deacons of the church got to have a pretty high standing, doesn't it? Why? Because we need to let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own households as well. This isn't some popularity contest of somebody think, hey, man, I like his car that he drives. He's really fun. He shakes my hand on Sundays. Oh, well, what's that? Does he do all these things? Because that's what the church is supposed to be looking at. I could care less about anything else. Well, but I don't like the way he dresses. I don't care. The guy wears designer clothes, he might be on his third wife and beats his kids. Who cares? Man looks on the outside, God looks on the inside. So the last instruction that Jesus gave before going back to heaven was, be my witness, right? Go make disciples. So does alcohol help or hurt my witness? The very thing I'm supposed to be doing for God is what I'm doing. My rights preventing me from being righteous. What am I doing before God? My right. I can do whatever I want in Christ. And then Paul said I can do anything. Okay, once again, we're taking a pretext and we're running with it. What's the whole passage? Pastor Grant, I don't think we should talk about this. I'm going to turn off my ears. I will not listen. I will do whatever I want. You can't tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do. I'm telling you what God's word says. I'm going to love you just the same. But the Bible says the whole word needs to be preached. And it says the whole word is profitable, and it's for reproof and encouragement. So this thing called alcohol or drunkenness or intoxication, the root word of it is toxic. Or inebriated will prevent some from going to heaven. I think this is a huge thing that we need to talk about at church. And stop getting caught in the branding of legalism, and let's just openly talk about these things so we can work out amongst family what we're going through. So I know it's huge because Jesus told the church to be careful, and 51%, I rounded down. It's 50.73% of the people in this country over the age of 21. Right across the board, not churchgoers, anybody, 50.73% people drink once a week. But 58% of evangelicals drink. That seems a skewed statistic. Yeah. Well, say maybe the world got a hold of some information because they say, man, I can see the ravages of alcohol. I can see what it's done to my family. I can see this. I can do this and all that. And in the church, it's like, well, I got to have a little fun. God's taken away everything that I can do to have fun. At least I can just sit in the comfort of my own home. I won't cause anyone to stumble. I'll just do it myself. No. So we have a disconnect with God's word and what's going on with the rest of the world. So go be my witnesses, Acts 1:8. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What? Power to do what? Power not just to do the do's, but power to do the don'ts. Holy Spirit, he's going to convict you and say, stop doing that and keep doing this. Here you're going to receive power, and you're going to be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Go and make disciples, Matthew 28:18. Jesus came down. He came down after he went ascended from heaven. He came down after he rose from the grave. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, all power is now given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. What are things? God's word, God's promises, everything that's written in this Bible. And whatsoever I've commanded you, the do's and the don'ts. Teach everybody the do's and the don'ts. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. But am I free to drink? Here's the Son of God. Man, you can do everything that I can do. You go out and do it. Be my witness. And here's the church. Well, can we drink or not? Can we? I just want to know. Paul said we're free to do whatever we want to do. He says, I choose to be a slave or a servant in order to witness. I buffet my body. Yeah, you can do anything you want to do, but I want to do what God wants me to do. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Although I'm free in every way from anyone's control, right in the church, I've made myself a bondservant or a slave to everyone so that I might gain the more for Christ. I get rid of every single thing that I can. Oh, so great, I have to stop. I have to watch what I watch, my movies that I watch. I have to watch the radio. I have to change all my presets on my radio. I don't know, let the Holy Spirit convict you. Because Paul says in verse 23, I'm doing this for the sake of the good news in order that I may become a participator in it and share in its blessings amongst you. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Get rid of the stuff that's easily besetting you, all the junk in the trunk that's holding you down. Because every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately. He restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that soon will wither, but we, you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, do it that something's never going to wither away. Our crown of righteousness when we go into heaven. So get rid of all the stuff so we got something to get. Stop doing the don'ts so we get to do the do's. I do not run uncertainly without aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without adversary. I'm telling you, you sit there with a boxer. If you ever watched a boxer, he's in the heavy bag, he's on the speed bag. There's no resistance to boxing the air. You're not growing, you're not maturing, boxing nothing. Heavy bag, speed bag, all those things. But I, like a boxer, verse 27, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships. I subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things, what are things? God's word pertaining to it, I myself will become unfit, not to stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Whew. Can you imagine going out to eat? Let's say you go to Bravo. Bravo Italian, you know Bravo over here at 7 and Haggerty? Oh, the bread's really good. Okay, anyways, the sausage tortelloni is the best. All right, so you sit down, and across the way, Billy Graham sitting at that table. James Dobson, he's sitting over there. Oh, my goodness. Smith Wigglesworth, you guys know Smith is? Smith Wigglesworth is sitting at the table. And you're sitting there, and your whole table's going, oh, my goodness, you guys see who's over there? Jerry Falwell, he's sitting over there with him too. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Hey, yeah, I'll take two drafts and I'll take a bottle of wine. Billy Graham is getting hammered? Dr. Dobson, you're getting the best that they have in the house? Cognac for Smith Wigglesworth? Well, why do you have a problem with that? Well, because they're supposed to be holy. So are we. We look at people who are holy, not perfect, and we admire them. So there's certain expectations we have of them that they have gotten rid of. They've climbed higher in the faith because, and God has pushed them forward, not man, because of the things that they got rid of and the things that they're doing. So we look at them. But we don't think twice about ordering it for us, but we're shocked when someone else does. But the word says, be holy as I am holy. Wow. If they shouldn't do it, why should I? 1 Peter 1:13. So brace up your minds, be sober, morally alert, set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace that is coming to you by Jesus Christ, the Messiah is revealed. Live as children of obedience. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. I love that. I got to read that again. It makes me laugh. Do not conform yourselves to the evil desires that governed you in your former ignorance. You were dumb to this before, but now that you know what to do, what is right, you don't do it. It's a sin. That's what he's trying to say. But as the one who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in your conduct and manner of living. If you look at someone else and say, man, they shouldn't be doing that because they're holy, they're pastors, then you shouldn't be doing it either. And if you call upon him as your father who judges each one impartially according to what he does, you should conduct yourselves with true reverence throughout this time to your temporary residence here on earth. Man, infinity, we're going to be living infinity divided by 70 years. That's zero, just so you know. That equation, well, how we live here is nothing. So you're not missing out on anything. So many of you have heard this teaching before and or teaching regarding alcohol or what is drunkenness or that no one who is drunken will go into heaven. I can't tell you, I don't know what you heard, but we just got to do what the word says. And no, we're not going to get through all this tonight, so don't get scared. You just have to bring it back next week. But I don't want you to read ahead because you're going to read ahead and you're going to go, what? Because I left some things out so you would listen. So Paul told Timothy, the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressively declares that in latter times, some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits, doctrines, and demons teach. Delude means to deceive the mind or judgment or mislead. One of the things that Solomon said, it's deluding, right? Can't think. And then also, one of the things that people teach is contrary to God's word. Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of what? Knowledge. Well, I think it's okay. It doesn't matter what you think, because my thoughts aren't God's thoughts. What is God saying? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want to know because I don't want to miss the kingdom. I don't want to miss the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus warned us at the end of times, teaching in Matthew 24. He said that many people will come leading many into error. They're going to say, dude, this is fine. This is okay. Don't worry about it. False Christs and false prophets will rise, and they will show great signs and wonders to deceive and lead astray. Even possible, even the elect. But I charge you, Timothy, once again, there it is, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, but go down to verse 3. The time is coming when people will no longer tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. Why? Because they say it's legalism. They have itching ears. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another. Why? To find out who lines up with the way I think. It has nothing to do with the Bible anymore. I'm telling you, people clamor to teachers. People clamor to states. Because you can drink in one, you can't drink in the other. I can smoke pot one, I can smoke in the other. I can get married to my best friend Bob in one, and I can't in the other. And I got to get a different Bible because your Bible says I can, and this one says I can't. This pastor says I can, and this pastor says I can't. This is the itching ears, and this is exactly what's going on right now in this country. Exactly what is happening on right now. The Bible is true. At the end of time, this would happen. Jeremiah 14, then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Just because he's got a white collar on, just because he's got a suit, just because he's got a tie, doesn't mean it's the truth. It's not in here. It's not the truth. It's false. And run as fast as you can to get away from false teaching. Whew. Now, wine in the Bible is referred to as fermented or non-fermented in the Old Testament in more plain language. In the New Testament, the study of the Greek requires more than just the old. So wine equals grape juice, but what kind? Is it fermented? Is it non-fermented is the question. And how much can I drink is another question. So people want to know, can I drink? And if I can, how much can I drink? Right? That's what they want. So first, pastors drinking alcohol, elders, bishops, all the same. The one that overseeing the shepherd, overseeing the flock. The apostle Paul said, you can't drink. As soon as you know a pastor drinks, it's not in the word, it's not in the text, you can't drink. Sorry, you done can't. 50% of the pastors drink. I'm not saying run, I don't even know what to say to that. All I know is if you can read that scripture and say, it doesn't matter to me, I'm still drinking, what else are you saying, I don't care, I look the other way, and not teaching on? Because the word says a bishop must be blameless, vigilant, sober, not given to wine. What does not given to wine mean? Not given to any wine or grape juice, but specifically alcohol. The phrase in verse 3 consists of three Greek words. Abstain, literally translated, means not beside, by, or at wine. Whoa. So this pastor, this bishop, this overseer, can't even be by it. The phrase is enjoining or instructing, commanding abstinence, and even the act of situating oneself in the presence of people, circle of friends, and places and entertainment where the consumption of alcohol is occurring. What? That's what the Bible says? Yeah. me as a pastor, it says, I cannot be given to anyone. It's not limited to drink. It's given to around. The words that are used in the Greek there. So I have a circle of friends. Let's say I have a circle of friends. This is my little circle of friends. Us four, we all go out to eat. Us four. We go out to eat every Tuesday. But two of them drink all the time, and I'm not going to tell you which two. Okay, so you have, I'm kidding. Okay, now there's us four. Two of them drink all the time. Bible says, I can't do this anymore. Well, then how are you going to witness? It doesn't say I can't witness. Jesus witnessed to everybody. He sat down. The Bible says be given to. In the rabbinical teaching and in the Greek, it says my close circle of friends cannot consist of those who drink alcohol. It's pretty serious stuff. So it's not that I can't even drink. I'm not even supposed to hang around with my close friends who drink. It can't do it. Well, why is that instruction in there? I don't know. I just read 22 passages. Why? And there's 54. Do you guys see this? It's right. I mean, it's right here. Here's the references from Vines is a great source. The original Greek, you just go to it. I'm telling you, this is, we can sit down with someone. We're witnessing to someone. We can do all those type of things. But my close circle of friends, Bible says I got to abstain from having those close circle of friends. They can't be drinking. I can't do it. So here we are of the deacons. Likewise, deacons. Be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. Wait, whew. Man, I just want to be a deacon. Pastors, I got it tough. Deacons, man, we can drink. Oh, hold on. Not be given to much wine. So does that mean I can't drink? Or does that mean some of my circle of friends and family can drink? See, when you understand that not even or cannot be given to is not inclusive or exclusive to that of me just drinking, but it means my close circle. But a deacon, his circle of friends because of job. See, my close circle of friends, hopefully, it's probably more people in my line of work. We can talk about what's going on. We can talk about, they can't be given to wine anyways. So hopefully if I'm getting together with them, we're good to go. But as somebody, a deacon who doesn't just work at the church, he's out there in the world, you might have to go out with family, friends, and they might be given to drink. So it says you can be given to be around those who drink. Do you guys understand? This is what it, so there are some, I want to say loosening of it. It's also understanding your position. Because Paul kept telling, we're going to get in this, Paul's telling Timothy something as a leader, as a preacher, as a teacher, you can't even do this at all. I don't want any people even thinking that you have anything around to doing this. So this is information right out of God's word. Do you still love me? You still love me, everyone? Okay. All right. I'm just trying to give you the word. So don't hate me. But it's my job to instruct. It's my job to encourage, to bring us all in oneness of faith. There are other qualifications as well for both positions. And the Bible says regarding a deacon, don't be in a hurry on laying of hands. So why do latter translations say for a pastor it's okay? Because man decided to change it. Man decided to change different translations and say it's okay. So in 1 Timothy in the New International, it says in the same way, it says in verse 3, not given to drunkenness. So in the NIV, in the 70s, they decided that a pastor, he just can't be drunk. He can drink now and he can be around people who drink. They just can't be drunk. Do you guys see this? So as we go, as we've gone in time, getting closer to the end of time, there's going to be deluding spirits, false teachers. Isaiah said there's going to be people prophesying and prophets saying things that I never said to say. Not to be over fond of wine, the message. I just can't be over fond of it. They're changing the text, they're changing the meaning. The further you get away from the original word or command, the more watered down it becomes. Be careful what you read, be careful what you've already read. Revelation 22:20, whoever adds and deletes from this book, we got to be careful what we're doing. Jeremiah, the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name.